This is Hunter Valley Today with Darren Cattruppi as we dedicate the program today to the announcement by BHP yesterday that the Mount Arthur coal mine will cease to exist from 2030 in its current form or operation, assuming that approval is given to extend its current permit beyond 2026 for a further 4 years. Well, the man who made the announcement and has to deal with everything that comes with it is the Vice President for New South Wales Energy Coal for BHP, and that's Adam Lancey, and I'm happy to say Adam joins me on the phone. Good morning, Adam.
Yeah, morning, Darren.
I know we've only just met, and I usually wouldn't start an introduction like this, but unfortunately, do you sort of feel a bit like, you know, the Grinch who ruined Christmas?
Oh, look, I think, you know, it's been a big announcement, and it is a big decision for the Upper Hunter, but I think, you know, for the workforce and the local community, it brings to an end a couple of years of a divestment review process, which has generated a little bit of uncertainty. And so, you know, I think what the announcement does do is provide some clarity and commitment that we can now move forward on.
So as part of that review, one of the questions I've noticed on social media already since we posted the news on our website was how hard did they really try to sell it to someone else who wanted to take over the operation?
Oh, look, I think the process was extremely exhaustive. It focused on a range of options. Initially, when BHP announced in August of 2020 that it was looking to move away from thermal coal and low-grade metallurgical coal within its portfolio, it identified a number of assets, of which Mount Arthur Coal was one of them. And I guess over the subsequent period, it transacted on the Colombian Cerrejón mine and the BMC operations in Queensland. So, you know, obviously it was able to secure adequate buyer interest and ultimately a suitable buyer in those instances. But in the Mount Arthur's case, we certainly did field a number of inquiries and interested parties. But ultimately, it's a big decision for BHP, you know, taking on board a number of different considerations that it needs to think through in selling a mine of this size and scale onto a third party. And ultimately, we weren't able to reach that conclusion, you know, with a suitable buyer. So I guess that then left a number of options in the retention space, and that's what BHP's focused on and announced today. But yeah, it's certainly been a very exhaustive process and something that it took very seriously.
So it's not a case of no one was interested. It's just a case that agreeable terms financially at the minimum weren't able to be agreed to.
Well, I think it was a combination of both, Darren. We had interests from parties. We used an analogy internally around, you know, when you're trying to sell your house, you know, people can make some initial inquiries. And some of those initial inquiries lead to offers and others don't. And then sometimes you get an offer that might be attractive, but when you get into the terms and conditions of the sale agreement, either the buyer or the seller, you know, has some different motivations around what they're looking for. So, you know, it is a complex transaction. Obviously, it takes into consideration, you know, the closure obligations that we're obviously looking to, you know, move forward with now with this announcement. And that's something that we needed to take into consideration. So, yeah, ultimately there was interest, but it didn't conclude in a deal.
Was the writing on the wall essentially for Mount Arthur when BHP made that decision to divest from coal?
I don't think the writing, you know, was on the wall. I think, you know, the decision that they've announced today is that it'll be retained, you know, within the portfolio and operated for another, you know, 8 years, which, you know, in the tenure of an operation of this size, you know, may not seem like a huge amount of time, but you know, 8 years is quite a period of time for us to be able to put a pathway together, you know, for closure. So it represents enough time now for us to sit down and take on board a range of views and positions that the various stakeholder groups that we work with closely, you know, into that decision-making process.
Would 2026 be too soon if the approval processes don't go your way?
Oh, look, I don't think that 2026 is an ideal outcome, you know, really for anybody. I don't think it's an ideal outcome for the government. I don't think it's an ideal outcome for the community. And I don't think it's an ideal outcome for, you know, ourselves here at the operation. And so that's not something that we're, you know, contemplating. We want to work with, you know, government and the stakeholders around how we can secure that approval and then, you know, operate for the additional 4 years to give us that, you know, that extended time to, you know, get that future land use and closure plan understood and ready to execute.
I'm talking with Adam Lancey, the Vice President, New South Wales Energy Coal for BHP, and about the Mount Arthur coal mine, of course, on Hunter Valley Today. We'll take a break and be back shortly. This is Hunter Valley Today with Darren Cattruppi. My guest is Adam Lancey, the Vice President, New South Wales Energy Coal for BHP, and the announcement made to the Stock Exchange and the community yesterday that the company will cease operating the Mount Arthur coal mine from 2030 on the proviso that they're obviously given approval to continue past their current licence, which ends in June 2026. So, Adam, I suppose looking to the future, what's next now?
Yeah, look, right now, Darren, nothing really changes. We want to continue to run a safe and productive operation for the foreseeable future. I've shared with the workforce that our intention is to maintain, you know, fairly consistent volumes for the, you know, for the bulk of this 8 year period that we're now working towards. And yeah, and then we'll also though commence, you know, effectively immediately the approval process with the government. And also the discussions, you know, with the local community. I've been in and around this operation, you know, for the bulk of my career. I've got a vested interest in making sure that we get this pathway to 2030, you know, right. And I want to make sure that ultimately the legacy that BHP leaves the Upper Hunter is a positive one and sets the Mount Arthur coal site up for, you know, whatever future land use is ultimately determined as taking, you know, the site forward. So, yeah, that'll all commence and obviously take, you know, some time. We don't have all of the answers right now and that was something that we were very clear about. We want to make sure that we can utilise the time to, you know, take on board the inputs and build that into ultimately the, you know, the decisions that we'll make that'll, you know, have that collaboration from everybody.
Will the company take, I suppose, suggestions from the workforce on what they think would be good options to, I suppose, transfer or the buzzword at the moment, transition?
Yeah, look, I think from a workforce, there's probably a couple of streams that we've identified that we'll obviously put some, you know, some work packages around. One of those is, you know, obviously working with the workforce around what that could look like and whether that's opportunities, you know, within the broader BHP, whether that's opportunities within the industry, you know, more broadly at that point in time, or whether that's in, you know, some industries that haven't yet emerged in the Upper Hunter that we'll see, you know, commence in the next 8 years. So that'll be certainly something that we'll work through with, you know, with the workforce. Obviously, there'll be then a focus on the, you know, the rehabilitation and closure aspects, and also then the, you know, the community and the stakeholder engagement. So, you know, I sort of see those, you know, as very defined areas that we'll be putting a lot of focus on.
What sort of role, if any, did it play in the fact that I think there's a pretty large segment of your workforce that will sort of be at retirement age by 2030 as well?
Oh, I don't think it played a large role in the decision itself, but it's something that we've obviously, you know, recognised, you know, when we look at the workforce makeup and some of those, you know, issues that we'll need to deal with. So, you know, that's just a factor of the demographic that's out here. We're fortunate to have some, you know, some long tenure amongst our workforce, and we've also got, you know, some newer colleagues that have joined us in, you know, in recent times. So I think ultimately, you know, that balance is just something that we have to work with. But, you know, this decision was really one that was driven by some, you know, economic analysis when we were presented with the range of options based on BHP retaining the asset. And that was something that really, you know, came out when we looked at what was going to play forward in the 2030 or post the 2030 period.
Look,
we know that there's some challenging environment that we need to negotiate out here in the mine operation itself, and that's really what's driven the decision in terms of timing.
I don't want to obviously get into a lesson on economics, because I'm very unqualified for that, but how volatile is making money? Like, I mean, the perception is coal mine operators make billions and billions of dollars and are just raking it in, but is it really that simple?
Oh, it's certainly not it's certainly not that simple, and I think, you know, Mount Arthur Coal can attest to that. You know, the volatility of the coal price is not a new phenomenon, and the operation, you know, under BHP custodianship's been in play for, you know, over 20 years, and we've seen some peaks and troughs, you know, in that period. You know, 18 months to 2 years ago, you know, we were seeing prices that had this particular operation very challenged. We reported significant losses. We were quite transparent about that, and we were working hard to, you know, mitigate those impacts. Fortunately, you know, based on some strategies and obviously external factors, you know, we're seeing a very buoyant price at the moment, you know, probably at levels that we've never seen before. But we certainly don't think that they'll, you know, last forever. And these types of decisions, and certainly the decision we've announced today, is not one based on, you know, short-term price speculation. It's based on a number of, you know, longer and medium-term factors. And as I said, primarily driven by some of the mine planning fundamentals that we need to deal with here at Mount Arthur. So, you know, this is a decision about Mount Arthur. It's about some of those challenges that we will face in terms of, you know, capital intensity and pressure on costs and productivity as we negotiate some of the geotechnical and geological challenges within the pit. And that time frame post 2030 was sort of the real deterministic factor around what, you know, drove the time frame.
Mm. From a more human level, how does it affect you having to make this announcement today? I mean, as you say, you've got very close ties to this community. It must have some sort of impact.
Oh, look, I mean, I've definitely, you know, had a strong, you know, engagement level, you know, throughout this process, you know, with the workforce and, you know, undertaken to ensure that we can, you know, keep them informed, but also, you know, reach an outcome where, you know, their views and impacts are well considered. But you know, I'm actually quite excited by the opportunity, to be honest. You know, the clarity and commitment that we're able to provide today does draw to a close a period of fairly significant uncertainty. And that's impacted us in a range of different ways. And that's also been, you know, on top of what has probably been the most challenging, you know, couple of years that I can certainly remember in my career when you consider COVID and prices and droughts and floods and all those other things. So it's been an incredibly resilient workforce, and I really wanted to, you know, be able to take that opportunity now to provide that, you know, that certainty and clarity. And also, I think the opportunity now sits with BHP playing a role, you know, in the future of the Upper Hunter, and I think that's actually a great thing. I think the commitment that it can bring to the closure of a site the size of Mount Arthur is a positive. And I think that certainly, you know, it wanting to leave a positive legacy with the contribution that it's made over many years is something that I look forward to being a part of.
So with the rehabilitation of the site, and this question's coming from the perspective of someone who's very new here in the Hunter Valley, but I assume it's not just a matter of just trying to fill in the hole or part of the hole, which probably would be almost impossible anyway, but surely whatever that rehabilitation work is, and you've said in your statement today to the ASX that will take 10 to 15 years, would that require a reasonable level of the workforce or people to undertake whatever that work is?
Yeah, it's certainly a significant undertaking, and it is predicated based on, you know, what that, you know, future land use and potential landform, you know, looks like. So, you know, we've done some preliminary thinking around that, and obviously now we'll open up some dialogue, you know, to further build on that. We've had some initial rounds of consultation with local council and state government, and we'll continue to have those conversations, and it will ultimately then drive, you know, what a lot of that looks like. But to your point, yeah, we understand that the actual exercise of rehabilitating and closing a site of this nature, you know, will extend beyond 2030. I guess, you know, interestingly though, the nature of those skills, you know, may change a little bit, and we'll work through that, and we'll obviously have an understanding of what that commitment looks like in terms of, you know, equipment and people and all of that sort of thing. So it'll naturally, I think, you know, evolve over the coming years, but certainly coal mining and the coal mining skill sets that are required, you know, will cease in 2030, but there'll be other activities that will extend well past that.
Okay, so just finally, obviously you're engaging with the workforce, and they'll stay up to date on what the processes are with you engaging with them and looking after them. What about for the community? Today, obviously, we're still getting used to the news, only 24 hours old, but is it a matter of stay tuned?
Oh, absolutely, Darren. I mean, we have a lot of close working relationships with a number of elements of the community, and we'll look to continue to obviously utilise those and expand them as we move forward. I've touched base over the last, 24, 48 hours with a range of those stakeholders, be that through the business chamber, the council, our community consultative committee, our local buying foundation group, our Indigenous stakeholders. There's a range of different ways that we engage with the community, and we'll absolutely continue to do that. And then, of course, the workforce themselves, they represent a key part of the community as well. And I want to make sure that they, are able to be as informed and, have an opportunity to share their views, throughout this process. So, yeah, we'll be definitely endeavouring to do that. And as we can incorporate that through, some of the new forums that are emerging, the Rejuvenation Fund and some of the other groups that are starting to form around what the future for the Upper Hunter can look like, I think I look forward to being able to participate potentially in those forums and provide some input.
And I believe you are attending a breakfast with the Muswellbrook Chamber of Commerce and Industry early next month, where you'll be answering questions as well.
Yeah, that's correct. So we regularly participate in the Upper Hunter Business Chamber breakfasts, and we'll come along and provide a little bit more clarity and information to that morning, and take some questions and see whatever information we can share.
Well, Adam, thank you very much for dedicating the time to come on the program and explain to our listeners a little bit more detail about the announcement. And the door is always open for you to come back as we go through this process over the next 8 years and then, of course, beyond once the rejuvenation starts. Adam Lancey from BHP, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks very much, Darren.
That's Adam Lancey, who is the Vice President, New South Wales Energy Coal for BHP. This is Hunter Valley Today on 981 2NM.